On this week's show, what do you get when you combine Sonic the Hedgehog with Streets of Rage? I'll tell you what you get. You get Speed Brawl, a vibrant 2D combat racer all about moving fast and hitting hard. And we have Lee Thomas of Double Stallion Games here to tell us why this game belongs in your Switch library. Not only that, but Game Freak disappoints Pokemon fans worldwide, except for Andy, and doesn't let us catch them all. And finally, the Hype Zone begs Nintendo to please don't sue me. This is Nintendo Dual Screens Episode 104. Everybody, and welcome to the Nintendo Dual Screens episode 104 for the week of June 24th, 2019. We are here. I think this is the official midway point of the year, which is terrifying to think of that the year is half gone. Anyway, I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is my partner in crime and best friend. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
We've accomplished nothing in half the year.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Our PAX East coverage was top notch.
What are we doing with ourselves?
And with us this week is Lee. How are you, Lee?
Hello there. I'm very well, thank you. Lovely to join you both.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you here. We're big fans of the game. Yeah, listener, in case you can't tell, he has a bit of an accent because he's not from Earth. He is from a place called, what did you call it? Great, I don't know. He's from someplace. It's weird.
Great Britain.
Great Britain.
European country, soon not to be right. European, if any of my silly compatriots kind of get their way.
But you are in Canada and you're in the same time zone, so we're all here. We're all on the same page here. So we do thank you so much for coming on, because Speed Brawl is one of our favorite games that we played at PAX East. We even did a couple of streams playing the game as well. So we have a lot of questions for you. So thank you so much for coming on. For those of you,
I am here to answer all those questions.
Absolutely. And for those of you that are new, just like Lee, to Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, this is a show where Andy and I and a industry guest host go over the Nintendo news that you absolutely need to know about and have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future, and focus on the nindies that deserve all of your love and attention. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. You can support us on Patreon if you'd like. Give us a dollar or so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Alex Gonzalez. Thank you so much, Alex. As always, we cannot continue to grow without your support. Hey, Andy, remember that time I was making up a different Spanish sounding name for Alex just for shits and gigs, and then he got in trouble from his significant other, and then we stopped doing it and I felt really bad about it?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember that all of a sudden.
Of all things to remember.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just remember
it's a dark chapter in the NDS podcast.
It was a dark chapter in my life. I was depressed for quite a while. We made some goal changes on Patreon going forward. So we have ended the Two Idiots comic strip goal there, because it was proving incredibly difficult to get artists to donate their time to us to make a little comic strip for us. It just turns out it's just way more time consuming than we thought it was going to be. So we moved up the weekly giveaways to take its spot. So that means we have something to give away this week, Andy. Well, next week. To enter, this is how you're going to enter. We are going to tweet this episode when it goes live. All you have to do is retweet this episode's post. That's all you have to do, and you will be entered to win a prize. And this week's prize is a $10 eShop card. So are we bribing you to retweet our show? Possibly. Possibly. Thoughts on the
very
ethics of this?
Very transparent here on NDS Podcast. Very transparent.
Lee, what do we have? Do we have an ethics breach on this one?
No, we'll give that a pass. It's fine.
Good. See, and he's got the fancy accent, so he means, you know, he's got to be right. He's got to be correct.
Absolutely.
You should have said, we're giving away
10 copies of Speed Brawl. Ain't that right, Lee?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. I'll just come in with my kind of evil English Empire voice. No, you have failed in your... Yeah, there we go.
I'll tell you what.
I'll answer it next time. I'll come back as an evil Englishman next time.
Now, if we were smart and we actually thought ahead on this one, what we could have done was gotten one copy of Speed Brawl and said the first person to retweet it because of the whole speed aspect.
I'll tell you what,
that would have been fun.
I can dig into my deep pockets right now and pull out. Yes, I have 3 Switch codes.
Oh my god,
you heard it here. People. Look at this. We coerced them into it.
To be decided how we give those out.
All right, so instead of the eShop card, we're going to give away one copy randomly to a retweeter, and the other two we're going to give away on our streams that we do when we do free game giveaways, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Free game Fridays.
It's a lot of fun. We have a blast. But anyway, if you want to be a part of this show, you can email us your comments, questions, and concerns, and all your ethics concerns to feedback@ndspodcast.com. That's feedback@ndspodcast.com.
I got some feedback for you. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I bet you do. Before we get into the lead story, which is all about Speed Brawl, and before we get into the Nintendo News Report, the Hype Zone, and all that fun stuff, it is time for my favorite segment of the week, Nindies of the Week! That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to go over the Nindies of the Week. Andy, I actually went back and I started playing some of my backlog on the Switch. I actually laid down on the couch. I was waiting for Bloodstained to do that thing on PS4. I didn't get it right away. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to play some games. And what I started playing again, or for the first time, really, again, I guess. that sentence doesn't make sense.
For the first time.
Again. I started Octopath Traveler, and I know it's not an indie game, so I don't want to waste anybody's time, but that is what I was playing on my Switch specifically. But I know you have a lot to say about your game, your Nindie of the Week, so I figure we'll just go right into that. What do you say?
Oh, my God. Steven.
Yes, and
it is a full-blown, Bloodstained love affair.
Mm-hmm. It's a problem.
I have been eating, sleeping, and breathing Bloodstained for 4 straight days.
And shitting Bloodstained, which is a serious medical problem.
No regrets. I think it's up there with Symphony of the Night.
Woo! You hear that,
Lee? It is that good.
I have to say, I'm playing it right now as well. It is absolutely fantastic. I kind of put off a lot of Metroidvanias last year because I knew it was coming, and I was like, no, I'm not going to play that one, 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 or that one. But I'm going to play Bloodstained. And I'm about 3 or 4 hours in, and it's absolutely fantastic. Just the tone of it. The fact that you can go from slashing a ginormous demon to making rice balls for an old lady. Count me in.
Yo, that old lady is insatiable.
She's so hungry all the time. Like, what is her problem?
What's wrong with her?
She's lost all her family. And it's like, but I must eat my pay.
She's so old. Her diet's like pizza, sponge cakes, lemonade.
I think your role here in this relationship is Dr. Kevorkian at that point. I think you're just trying to kill her.
I think the game's a dietitian DLC add-on because she is in desperate of some attention and guidance.
She's so true. You've got the farmer, and the farmer's kind of like, oh, hello, let's grow some crops. This is great. And then you've got the other woman inside that's like, they killed my friends. Murder them.
Give me fried pork.
Exactly. All right, so Andy,
remember to pick up some silver bromide for the camera, please.
Yes.
Without spoiling too much, what is your review in 30 seconds?
Buy this game now. It is amazing. It is everything you want it to be and more. If you like Castlevania games or Igavania games for that matter, please support this game and support Nindies.
Now, I have this game ready to go. I downloaded it. I got my copy from 505 Games. Thank you very much, by the way. Here, I have one question for you. Yes. I'm going to preface it by saying I love, my favorite genre is the action RPG.
Yes.
Is this enough of an action RPG mixed with the Metroidvania or the Egovania style? For me, as you know who I am, you know my tastes.
Well, if you read my review, which should be up tomorrow.
I've read half of it because it's about as long as War and Peace.
Dude, it had to be done properly. There's a lot of depth in this game, okay? So, a little snippet of my review here. The shards in the game have grades and ranks.
All right.
And you can level them up. You can enhance them. You can level up Miriam, the main character. You can level up your familiars in the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn techniques for your weapons, which also level up.
Mm.
So there's a lot of stuff jammed in here in terms of beefing your character up.
Old jammy.
All those elements. Those
lovely
action RPG elements. They're all there, present and accounted for.
Right.
In this lovely gothic package.
Mm.
Which I called in my review a haunting nightmare poem.
Okay.
Except when you put bunny ears on, and then you're like, kind of like, oh, I kind of don't really look gothic anymore.
Right. It pulls you out of the experience when it's like a dramatic cutscene. Like at the end, there's like some real drama going down, and I'm like in bunny ears and like a monocle and a cowboy hat. Like, this seems inappropriate.
She's just a girl doing her thing. You know, she was asleep for 10 years. Leave her alone.
Right. I like the option to, like, have her hair cut and to put her in different color dresses and change her eye color. Or, again, put her in a monocle and bunny ears. But it's, like, at the serious moments. But then again, the game itself, it strides that line of not taking itself too seriously.
Right.
I mean, one of the shards is you can summon a heavy metal rocker that...
Right. Mm-hmm.
Literally will melt your enemy's face with fire as it plays awesome guitar riff.
Lee, is this also your Nindy of the week?
It would be if you hadn't made it your other Nindy of the week. The other game I would kind of mention that I've been playing a lot recently is Katana Zero, which I don't know if you played that. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, Andy was a big fan.
Yeah, well, I love my sprites. And my size really game, so
it's just a beautiful, tight experience. I finished it in one sitting. It was like, okay, yeah, it was just fantastic. I'm not sure I'll go back yet because I feel like the hardcore mode is going to be really hardcore. And like I said, I've just started Bloodstained. I have got a long way to go in that game yet. It just gives so much.
Awesome.
You gotta harvest those rice seeds and that corn.
You gotta get them done.
That's true. The notion that rice and potatoes can be farmed in the same amount of time is just great.
Yes, they can.
Like, yeah, it's fine. Well, the village burns in the background.
It's still burning. It's never not on fire. And the guy's like, hey, I got your crops for you. Dude, the house behind you is burning to the ground.
I've got just enough reservoir water to plant this rice and grow it. Do you not need to put the fire out? No, don't worry about that. That's fine.
Fire's good for rice. Fire.
It just keeps going.
Yeah, and there's one that was like, did you find that necklace I wanted? Fuck your necklace, lady! Screw your trinkets. They're demons.
So all right, so those are games you can play.
For you.
Well, I guess one of those games is a game you could play right now, and Bloodstained you're going to be able to play as of Tuesday, which is tomorrow when you're listening to this, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out on Monday. But let's get into the rest of the games that are coming out this week, according to nintendo.com/games/coming soon. All right, so we got Azeron Tales Trials. We have Bloodstained. We have We the Revolution, which actually looks pretty interesting. Super Neptunia RPG, which is for $49, not $49.99, $49. Somebody's getting fired. MotoGP 19 is coming out. That's $50. Wow, those MotoGP games still going, huh? Gunya Fighter. What do we got? Sega Ages, Wonder Boy, and Wonder Boy Monster Land, which is a really good game. Human Rocket Person. Okay, I chuckled at that one. Human Rocket Person, you got me, you fuckers. Virtual Racing, Sega Ages Virtual Racing. Furwind, which looks awesome, and I want it right now. There may or may not be a cat on the cover, Andy. Yes, that is definitely a cat. Or a fox.
Steven game confirmed.
Oh, wait, Andy, it's not just the Steven game. There are sprites, Andy.
Oh, God, it's for both of us.
There are sprites, Andy. I suggest you click that link and you open it. War Tech Fighters. What else we got? We got Dandy Dungeon, Legend of Brave Yamada. Graveyard Keeper, Andy, is finally being released.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have it on Steam. It's not a bad game.
Boxy Pro Wrestling, or Cheeky Boxy Pro Wrestling, opening that one right immediately. Let's see what that's about.
That better be two-player.
Holy shit.
We're playing it.
Oh, my God. This looks amazing. Oh, I would need it in my life. Oh, this looks so bad. It's good. It says up to six players. Multiplayer. And online. Woo! Three types of multiplayer.
Oh, my God. It's on sale, too. $13.49.
Local and online. We got our Tuesdays with Andy and Steve game for next Tuesday. Booyah. There it is.
This is like a bunch of Minecraft rejects made a game of their own.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. We found it. Nekopara Volume 3, which is... Look at the cover. You can figure that one out. Boababs Mausoleum Episode 2, 1313. Barnabas Dead End Drive. That's the title of this fucking game. Lee, you make video games. You make video games.
Yeah.
What the fuck is...
At one point, was the title Barnabas Dead End Drive on your list of game titles?
No, Andy.
Like, coming out with a speedrawl title, we must have put like 160 different titles. Like, I do a really fast iteration process where I pick keywords and I put them all together. And obviously you go, it's a game that's fast and you fight. It's called speedrawl. How they got to Barnabas Does Dallas or whatever.
I'll start over. Because I think you think I may have said two games.
Okay.
Baobab's Mausoleum Episode 2, 1313 Barnabas Dead End Drive.
Hats off. That is some sincere creative work.
The price tag is $6.99, and they're charging you $1 per word of the title for that game. That's how that works.
You know what?
I gotta know. Wait. Let's look up Barnabas Mausoleum Episode 1. 12-12.
12-12. All right, moving on. Iron Curtain from... Martyr Oshka with love. I think I heard great things about that game. Actually, I just don't know how to say it because I'm an idiot.
That you are.
I think that's the one I'm thinking of. Okay, Mario Maker 2 is coming out before the week's end. It's coming out on Friday, just in time for the weekend.
That's happening in our lives.
Yeah, did we put that in? I don't think we put it in the show, right? Okay, yeah, Mario Maker 2, just to let you know, they did put the... you could play with your friends now, but it's not coming until a post-launch patch. So when they came out and said, oh, you can't play with your friends, you were like, seems like an odd choice, Nintendo. Seems like an odd fucking choice, Nintendo. And then they were like, okay, no. We're just joshing.
We're just joshing.
You're just going to have to wait, though. Because you took us by surprise and we feel like assholes. This is a big week, man. Rally Rockin' Racing, Headball Soccer Deluxe. I actually have Headball Soccer, like the regular one, on my phone, my Android, and it's goofy as shit. It's really dumb. Real Drift Racing, Spellcasting, Perfectly Portable Edition, and that's perfectly with the cat because it's a cat casting spells.
Oh, it's a cat game, Steven. A lot of cats this week,
ladies and gentlemen.
Nintendo Switch.
Maddening Euphoria is coming this week. Another Sight is coming this week.
Red Faction. That sounds like it's our podcast in a nutshell. Yeah. Maddening Euphoria,
correct. Red Faction Gorilla. We're already 20 minutes into the show. Gorilla Remastered.
That
comes out next Tuesday. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. That's
clever as Barnabas Jones goes to die in the grave somewhere.
Baobabs.
I do want to say one thing.
Who the fuck knows?
Before we move on from this segment, is that my friend Pedro is out the day after this recording, which is tomorrow.
The recording, correct.
20th. So for our listeners out there, we do love that game. We're excited about it.
We'll talk about it next week.
Just want to say that.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it next week. I'm going to be so bad at that game. It's going to be so laughable how bad I am.
I can't
wait
to suck at that game really hard.
Yeah. Funny story, Andy was kicked off of the kiosk that he was playing on at PAX East
For press, we have, I'm not apparently.
We had media badges. We are media. We're videoing him play the game, and they kick us off so that another media person could play who is apparently more important than us.
No, just like, oh. Okay.
And when we get them on the show, we are going to make them feel bad about it.
According to this person, so.
But that brings us.
The person that bumped you. That's who you want to interview. That's who should be on the show. Whoever that other journalist that bumped you was.
Oh my God, that was amazing. Interviewed him. Hey, guy.
Hey, remember that time?
Just talk to him mercilessly.
You jerk. Anyway. That brings us to our lead topic, not the jerk part, but the PAX East part.
It's a good games at PAX East.
That's great.
We actually got to play for a little bit.
Yeah, we got to really enjoy, and I was surprisingly good at when we played it, and then when we played on stream was just horrifically bad.
We didn't do so good.
You put that shit on baby-ass baby mode at PAX. Don't lie to me. We have so let's talk about Speed Brawl. Lee, give our folks the pitch of Speed Brawl. What is Speed Brawl?
I can give you my perfectly finely honed, very well trained, delivered 1,000 times pitch. Speed Brawl, it's Sonic the Hedgehog meets Streets of Rage. It's a 2D side-scrolling brawler where the faster you go, the harder you hit. Yes, it's all about momentum. Keep that momentum, keep up your combo, hit everything that moves, then cross the finish line. Once you cross that finish line, you're going to get gold, silver, bronze, and now platinum. You're going to unlock prizes, you're going to unlock fans, you're going to unlock money, you're going to unlock brawlers, and you're going to make your way from the outskirts of London all the way to the moon. Ta-da! That's Speed Brawl. If I didn't get you with Sonic the Hedgehog reach Streets of Rage, most of that conversation goes quickly downhill.
Fuck, there's platinum now?
Oh,
yeah,
no.
There's platinum now. Just to make you feel even worse at the game.
Oh, no. I thought I was good.
No, we put a lot of kind of mid-tier equipment on the players for the demo booth so that people get that sense of power. But there's intricacies and complexity to that combat, and it's a little bit easier to unpick that if you don't have all the kind of bells and whistles right at the start.
Gotcha.
That's why it's hard.
You really sold the house of lies.
Yeah.
So what was the initial? Did you want to make something fast, or did you want to make a brawler? Like, what was the thing you were set to make out from the very beginning? I can't imagine you said, I want to make Sonic the Hedgehog meet Streets of Rage. Like, if that is the case, then you're just a genius and you need to just continue making games for the rest of your life and maybe even work for NASA or something. But tell us how
it's kind of like
that
Yeah, so Double Stallion Games, we made a game called Big Action Mega Fight for iOS and Android. That was a 2D side-scrolling brawler. That was very much kind of like Cartoon Network meets Streets of Rage. It was a touch control beat-em-up. It was originally developed as a freemium title. Mm-hmm. Man, freemium titles with skill gates do not work. So we span it around and turned it into a premium game. And it did really well on Android, but we showed it at Casual Connect, I think, in 2014. And Cartoon Network were there, and they went, hey, that's a really nice cartoon-looking game. We should make a game. And they were working on a series called OKKO with Ian Jones-Corti, who had, I think he'd been an artist on Steven Universe and a bunch of other stuff. Anyway, he was developing this new property, OKKO, and so we made OKKO Lakewood Plaza Turbo, which was kind of like Streets of Rage meets Zelda. It was a side-scrolling quest-type game. Then everyone at the studio lost their minds and started to develop a puzzle platformer called Luna, which was a black and white, very calm and beautiful 2D platform adventure where you are on the moon trying to basically kind of find your dead father, obviously, and unlock colors and bring color back to the moon and then have this rainbow road that goes back to Earth. However, midway through development, I joined the team and I told them, why on earth are you making a puzzle platformer? You've learned all this stuff about brawlers. You should have been making a brawler. Eric, who's the studio's art director, what's your favorite game? It's kind of like Sonic the Hedgehog or Streets of Rage. Well, why don't we make Sonic the Hedgehog meet Streets of Rage?
Ah,
it's pretty much how it kind of came about. The big game design thing was obviously this speed to damage ratio. It was kind of like, okay, how do we get that into the game? But how do we make it a combat game? So it's not just about going fast. We all played speedrunners. We thought it was fantastic, but we didn't want it to be speedrunners with a punch. We wanted it to be something else, something that required tactics, something that required you to make meaningful choices. And so the long sort of 18-month progress of making speed to damage work this way, then make it work that way, then make it work this way, then throw it all out completely and make it work this way. I mean, yeah, tons and tons of iteration. That's kind of how we got to it. The whole kind of like speed to damage and Sonic the Hedgehog meets Streets of Rage, that's quite easy. Actually making it fun and making it work, that's the tough part.
One of the interesting choices that I thought you guys made with the game design was that you break up the levels into multiple little sections. So you have to clear a section and then you go to the next section and stuff like that. Whereas, like when I was playing it, I realized that, like, you know, you're teaching us to do something as quickly as possible, and then in a sense, having us stop to kind of like catch our breath and then move on to the next one while that clock is still kind of ticking. What was the reasoning behind breaking it up like that, as opposed to having the player just go through and fight and then, oh, I missed that guy, I'll run back, and like, but like still keeping that flow of you know, the back and forth?
It was kind of like when we kind of always thought, oh, we're going to make it a race. We're going to make it like a sport. Let's build it out as a sport. And we tried to get the core combat right first, and we really added that finish line later. And once we'd added that finish line, we were all like, oh, okay, a traditional size level, you know, is a little bit too long, because
sure. The
game's quite intense. So we wanted to break up that level of intensity. And we also wanted to promote this concept of replaying. So like with Metroidvanias or puzzle platformers, you've got this notion of, oh, you go all the way to the right and then you go all the way to the left. By the time you've got to the right, you've learned all these new things about the game, and then you backtrack and do it again. And we were like, well, we don't have that option, because we need to keep the player moving forward constantly. So it was really kind of that thing of like, we looked at racing games, because that's kind of the hybrid style game we were making. And we looked at how they broke up their runs. So there was a version of Speedball where it was much more like Burnout Paradise, where you kind of, there's loads of different events and you sort of run around and then you get to an event and you start that event and go. But it was like, you spend most of the time not fighting, just running around. And then we had this concept of like, oh, well, let's do it like Mario Kart, where we'll just do, you know, the Star Cup has three tracks and you run them back to back, and you have to do gold in the first one and gold in the second one and gold in the third one if you want like the star. And that's kind of how that structure for the core championship came about, really, from just looking at lots of other games. I mean, we looked at way more than I just mentioned, but then finding something that felt similar and kind of had that same sort of kind of that same payoff. When you finish a run of, you know, you're on run one and you do really well, you're like, oh yeah, this is great. But it raises the stakes for number two. You're like, oh shit, I better do good at this now.
Right.
And then you start going, oh, should I use my special now? Should I not use my special? And it was kind of like each of those championships roughly takes 3 to 6 minutes, depending on how good you are. And it really started to hit at all of those kind of player experiences we want. Oh, when should I use my special? Well, how should I do this? And then if you go back and replay them, you start to learn where the enemies are. And then you start to be able to go, oh, now I can change my equipment to do this and da 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 da. So it was really kind of like just completing a loop and trying to kind of get the players to do that loop again and again and again and learn something about the game, but also learn something about what the level was trying to teach them or trying to challenge them with.
Sweet. Andy, I'm sure you got some questions. I don't want to hog up all the time.
No, I'm still stuck on that moon game he was talking about before. sounded lovely.
It was really beautiful, and it was all about, it was inspired by kind of like pre-1900 cinema techniques. So you were constantly using a lens to change the camera. It's a technique actually that I think it's in a game, Mutant Muds. You can kind of jump back and forward in the background. You probably know that from I think it was quite a big game on 3DS. And then there was a recent puzzle platformer called Poncho that used it. And then it's shown up again and again in a bunch of other kind of like indie titles. It's a really interesting.
Didn't the new Yoshi game do that? Concept.
Yeah, I think the new Yoshi game did do that. Yeah. But it was like, I just looked at the team, and the team had all of this knowledge of like how to sell a punch. And we were playing, I was playing other teams' brawlers, and they just didn't have that crunchy combat feel. And I really was just like, hey guys, look, we need to make another brawler. We need to like, this is our shtick. The animation works with it, and it's only getting better. The combat design works with it, and it's only getting better. We just need to kind of push on all these other levels. And that was like online, competitive mode, more content, all of that sort of stuff. And that's kind of where Speedball came from.
Right. So you made a game that really harkens back to like the good old days of Streets of Rage, like that yeah. couch co-op kind of mentality. So naturally, you put in a versus mode.
Yeah. A lot of people play, I mean, if you play the game, you know it plays a little bit like Smash. And when I say a little bit, I mean, you've got the directional attacks. It's right. a lot of the complexity is removed. So it's not like Street Fighter where you have to remember like a ton of different combinations. You basically have to kind of like punch in this direction or that direction or use this alternate button or use these two alternate buttons. Very similar to Smash. And we really just wanted to kind of like build something that was like really instantly playable and felt like those older games.
It reminds me a little bit of like...
By the way, Steven.
What's that?
The little versus in Speed Brawl.
I'll kick your ass.
No, you won't.
It reminds me a little bit of like the Smash levels where you have to just continuously knock the 100% damage guys off the map, and you're just like trying to do it as fast as possible and just like chaining, you know, whatever you can do and like maximizing your move set so that you're constantly moving around almost in like a figure eight. That's kind of like what I find myself doing is like going down, up, and then because you have flying enemies, you need to get them on the ground. You're almost finding yourself bunching enemies together if you can, so that you can land that crazy uppercut and really do some damage and clear the space. The biggest challenge for me when I'm playing the game is really learning the enemies, because like in my head, I feel like I should as a gamer and as like the person playing, I should be able to be the best from the very beginning. And that's always my downfall, is that like I don't take the opportunity to like learn and go back, because I feel like, oh no, why go back? Go forward. Keep going forward, kind of thing. And what this game really teaches you to do is it really teaches you to learn the enemies, not just their patterns, but like their weaknesses, their strengths, and how you can use them to your advantage. Because some of them you could like bounce off of and stuff like that. So it's a really cool design.
It's interesting that you guys are playing Bloodstained and I'm playing it as well at the moment, because those sort of games, especially with those boss characters, it's all about remembering the patterns. So when you play those games, you're always like, oh, I've done 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. Oh, dead. Next time. 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds. Oh, no, dead. And then you go into that loop again and again and again, and it's like game over. So you go back and you're kind of constantly remembering. But in Speed Brawl, you're like, well, you might not do it perfectly, but you could do it. And then next time you come back, that's when you're going to get silver. That's when you're going to get gold. So it was a way of us saying, look, this game is designed for you to get better at, not just to complete. And I think that's the kind of the interesting loop. And to kind of like go back to what you were saying about versus mode, yes, we've added versus mode. I can't tell you how many people were just like, just make the characters touch each other and then you can hit. It's like swatting a fly. Like if we were to turn it into a platform brawler, like you will never catch Cassie. I'm telling you right now. There is no way for Automaton to fight Cassie in a fair fight. So what we did is we looked back at classic games, stuff that games don't do anymore. And I don't know if you remember in Sonic the Hedgehog 2, they have that kind of two-player mode where it's split screen and you're kind of racing against each other. We just looked at that and we were like, yeah, great, let's do split screen. And then the engineers were like, hey, I'm working on split screen, but why do we need to do split screen? It's all one battle. So we were like, great, just do one battle. And that's how we kind of like got to our versus mode.
That's amazing. Like, one of the things about that really drew us to this game was like, we saw it at PAX East.
Yep.
And like, oh, this looks like an us kind of a game. But we were shocked that it was already released like months before.
Yeah, it's we had a very we were published by Kongregate. So Kongregate traditionally kind of do web games, and they've only just moved into premium games. So we were very aware that we knew we had something interesting. We'd never released a game of this scale before, and it doesn't have any of the traditional sort of indie hooks. Which it's much more like a kind of like, no, this is just a great action game. Like, you'd never be like, oh, this is an indie game. It's like, it didn't push story. It didn't push mechanics. It didn't cater to an audience that maybe doesn't have sort of AAA or III games made for them. So we knew we'd made something fun. So did Kongregate. But we weren't quite sure kind of how to position ourselves. And we had a ton of marketing material. And we sort of, I think we sort of limped out of the gate expecting to kind of double down on marketing, but really that's just not something that you can do nowadays. So a lot was learned, but what I will say is that the version that was released in September last year and the version you're playing now is so, so different. We almost immediately got to patching. I think by Christmas we had kind of 4 or 5 patches, and now, I mean, God, I don't even know, like 10 or so, like major patches. In that interim, we have also ported the game to mobile. It's just come out in the US with Hatch. Hatch is kind of like this streaming platform. So it's on there as a trial, as in like, it's like, does a game with this much kind of control, this sort of like, you need to play this game with a controller. Right. And will that work on mobile? That's kind of what we're looking at the moment. Early indications say yes, it will. But the great thing about putting it to mobile is we pushed all of those optimizations back onto the Switch version especially. And the Switch version now pretty much is 60 frames per second for most of the game, which is like fantastic. And that is not where we were at launch.
Right, because, you know, this podcast, we sort of like take pride in knowing which indie games to be on the lookout for. And when we saw this game, I was like, how the fuck did this game get under our radar? Because it's such an us game, and it looks so colorful and such a blast to play.
It's got that 90s, early 2000s cartoon style, right, that I'm obsessed with.
I feel like a complete failure by not knowing that this game even existed when we first saw it.
Both of us, it's like, we want to find you guys, and you want to find our games. We just have to kind of find a way of working together. It's not easy. I mean, you read at the start of the show all those Nintendo games that are coming out next week.
I mean, Barnabas.
I mean, obviously, Barnabas
is all the spotlight from all the other games.
I've already pre-ordered it. It's done. But like, with that is like really, you know, that's huge. That's a massive amount of games to kind of break through. Every single one of those people is kind of going, play me, play me, play me. So, yeah, it was just one of those things of it wasn't ready to cut 6 months before we launched, so we couldn't take it to shows and do all of this stuff. You know, we were really kind of like, we weren't crunching because we're not a studio that crunches, but we were kind of putting the finishing touches on the game right up until the last minute. And I think that the other big thing that kind of like didn't help was that our initial Switch launch was the preview version of the game. Our day zero patch did not make it through lock check for reasons that, as a non-technical person, I can't tell you why, but it was 23 days until the day zero patch hit. So we missed Nintendo tweeting about the game. We missed all of this thing. We just had to tell them, hey, can you hold off, please? Because otherwise we're sending people to a game that is functional, but is not how we intended it to be viewed for the first time.
Sure.
So I think we just a little bit of it. We just weren't lucky. We hit a road of bad luck. But since then, we've been to the Mix, we've been to PAX, we've been to a couple of other shows. This game shows very, very well. And if we are the sleeper hit of 2018, that's totally fine by me.
Do you have any future plans for Speed Brawl?
Yeah, we're still looking at Speed Brawl. So we just added, like I said, Versus Mode, which has got Platinum Trophies, and it's got some new costumes, it's got some balancing and optimization. We have some new costumes coming for the male characters. There are a ton of ideas of kind of new weapons and new kind of new equipment that we want to add and a few new modes. We are also working on something new. So periodically, over the next couple of years, yeah, expect to see some updates to Speed Brawl.
I have an idea.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Level builder.
Do you know what? That was on our roadmap from day one. It was like, we want the community to be able to build their own levels. And if they don't want to build levels, design their own waves. Because each of those battles is like this little directed like panic attack.
It's like a scene.
They're left, they're right. That's exactly right. It was always designed like, I kind of got the programmers to build level tools that were much more kind of like, you know, it felt like I was a director. And it was like, okay, stage left, stage right, enter from below, pass in from behind. And it was kind of like designing in this kind of orchestration kind of way. And it's really, really fun. We never got to the point of releasing the level tools, but we did build, I don't know if you've ever seen the UbiArt pipeline, which is something they used in Rayman. You've probably seen it in like behind the scenes where they actually paint the lines in the engine and then it auto fills in the art. It sort of just goes bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like our engineers built that for us, and it was kind of amazing. Yeah, I made them make it give it that sound as well. It kind of, you feel like Mickey Mouse just kind of going bloop, 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 bloop,
That's awesome.
That's what Mario Maker needs.
Just cut those out, Steven, and send them right to Miyamoto.
That's it. All right. Any parting words about Speed Brawl? Andy, do you have any last question that you want to get in?
Nah, I just feel bad for not knowing about it until we saw it at PAX East.
Well, listen, we loved it. We still love it, and we're I can't wait for more updates to keep hitting, to keep us going back for more. And now I just have to bite the bullet, and I got to just go back, and I just got to get good, as the kids say. You know what I mean?
Oh, platinum now. Holy hell.
I just got to get good. I'm struggling for silver.
Just when I thought I was good at the game.
Midway, but what you want to do is you want to push on through the game and then go back and get the golds.
What you want to do is not suck at it.
Yeah, it's really weird. I guess it's like different players play the game. You said earlier on you want to play the game the first time and feel like a badass.
Right.
There's a lot of games that do that for you. Speed Brawl is not one of those games.
All right, we do appreciate it. I mean, guys, where can people find Speed Brawl? Give them all the locations.
You can go to speedbrawl.com, which will point you to the game on Xbox One, the game on PC, it's on Steam, it's on Cartridge, it's on GOG, it's coming to Humble and Green Man Gaming and a ton of other sites. It is also on PlayStation 4. And yes, it's out on Switch already.
Yay.
Did you say GOG?
Yeah, GOG. G-O-G. Yeah. G-O-G, yeah.
Love it.
I swear GOG only exists so that you put a non-DRM version of your game up there so the pirates can get it. I don't know.
It's like NES versus NES. It's like, is it pronounced GOG? That's GOG. Weird.
GOG. Yeah, I guess that's weird. Yeah, internally we just call it GOG.
I think that's better than saying good old games. I think that's just...
Yeah.
What the hell is that? All right, it's time to move on to the Nintendo News Report because we do have four freshly picked beautiful stories for you. The first one is, where's that Pokemon? Andy?
Who cares, nerds? No one cares about this but you.
All right, so this is an updated story. So to preface this, Game Freak came out and said that the National Pokedex will not be part of Pokemon Sword and Shield. And for those of you who don't know, what that means is that you're not going to be able to bring all of the near 800 Pokemon into Pokemon Sword and Shield. That's just not going to be an option. And they gave some more details about this. So this is coming from Nintendo Everything. I'm just going to read a couple of bullet points here. With the shift to Switch, the amount of time needed to make the graphics more beautiful and the animations more lively has increased. Another aspect is the fact that the Pokemon series has reached over 1,000 Pokemon, including form changes. Because of this, apart from the graphics, balancing for new Pokemon with new abilities has become very hard. This is the reason behind the decision this time, and they have judged that it will be hard for all of the Pokemon to appear, even in titles going forward. This was a decision that had to be made sooner rather than later, Masuda said. Even in Pokemon Sun and Moon, bringing in every Pokemon was something barely manageable. With Pokemon Sword and Shield and the need to redo models, they just had to make a decision. Omori said that despite this, the wild areas and story will have quite a bit of content to make up for it. Regarding whether Pokemon may be added in future updates, this is currently uncertain.
Gotta patch them all, Pokemon.
Exactly. It's not about adding more Pokemon in as they receive graphical upgrades, but rather change towards bringing in Pokemon from Pokemon Home that fit the game. So yeah, Pokemon Home taking over Pokemon Bank, and now Pokemon that renders about, I don't know, you could probably say maybe 500 Pokemon completely useless, I guess. So yeah, there was a big uproar. The fan base was not happy about this. I think it makes complete sense. And to be honest, I like when in generations where they focus on the new Pokemon. I am tired of Pikachu, Squirtle, Charmander, and Bulbasaur mattering more than 100 out of the 135 new Pokemon. It's really getting ridiculous. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts?
Listen, it'd be nice to have like all of them in there for the sake of seeing what they would look like on the new platform with a brand new engine and spiffy new graphics. I get that. But to call Game Freak words like lazy.
Yeah, lazy.
Like, for real, guys?
They made this in 2 years.
For real?
Lazy, uh-huh.
So you'd rather they would make a game with 1,000 Pokemon, with brand new animations, models, and have the balancing perfected, and take maybe 5 or 6 years to get that out.
Yeah.
That's the alternative.
Yeah.
I really like the press release. It's like a very sort of corporately worded release. It sort of sounds like a really bad immigration policy. Oh, unfortunately, we couldn't bring all of the Pokemon into the Poke City at the same time.
We couldn't bring the Pokemon from the shithole countries.
Yeah, exactly.
We've all got like Pokemon prison.
It's a really there's a lot of this around at the moment of kind of like you know, fans, super fans, whoever, sort of saying, "Oh, these guys are lazy. Why are they not doing this?" And all you have to do is say, "Hey guys, guess what? It takes a long, long, long time, a lot of money, and a lot of time and patience to make these games." But instead, we get incredibly bizarre press releases that sound like they're written by someone who has never worked a single day in their life inside of a video game company.
We've analyzed the amount of Pokemon and it turns out that the kids and yeah, okay, thanks lawyer guy.
I've fallen asleep before I get to the actual point of the press release and now I don't care
it's
anymore.
Just fine, Pokemon. It's not the end of the world. People think stuff like, "But my childhood Pokemon that I raised that was a shiny from like 5 games ago, I can't bring it in." Get over it, nerds.
Nerds. All right, so we have some more upgraded Switch or Switch 2.0 or Super Nintendo Switch news. This comes from NintendoLife.com. So this is a rumor, obviously. The new NVIDIA Shield TV could share the same chipset as the upgraded Switch. Now, the reason being is that it is going to be an upgraded version of the same chipset that the Switch currently uses, which is the Tegra 1, I believe. I think the Tegra X1 family. But this new chip is going to be in the same family, and it will boost better power usage and a higher maximum GPU clock. Now, if you couple this with the rumors that came from, I believe, the Wall Street Journal, talking about how Nintendo currently has 2 revisions of the Nintendo Switch currently being produced, which came from when they moved manufacturing from China to, I believe it was Indonesia, I think, could be wrong, but they moved it from China somewhere else because of tariffs and all that stuff. It was a well-known thing within the insiders that you know these kind of types of things, that they were producing 2 new iterations of the Nintendo Switch in these factories. So it looks like this could be a real thing. Does it not?
So let me get this straight. This report is about, it's a rumor within a rumor is what's happening.
Essentially, but we got to compare GPU clock sizes now. My GPU clock is bigger than yours.
So the Shield TV could hear a same chipset with a rumored Switch upgrade. Am I hearing that right?
It's poorly worded. What they're saying is the new Shield chipset, the new chipset, could be the same that is theoretically be used. Yes, could be theoretically used to upgrade the Switch
The tagline says new hardware on the way. Based on who? What hardware?
That sounds like something my dad. That's like me ringing my dad and going, "Hey, do you have any idea about what's happening with the new Switch?" Well, they could use the NVIDIA Shield TV Tegra's GPU X59000. However, it's like, yeah, no, whatever.
I think it's time to squash this, Nintendo. Just come out and say, "Hey guys, here's the brand new Switch Mini we're working on for the last year. Here you go. Enjoy."
There was another article that came out, and I did not put it in the doc, but it goes hand in hand with this, and that there was a new plastic protective case that was being advertised for the Switch, and the image of the case and the Switch in the case was a Switch Mini image. It was a Switch image that had the Joy-Con permanently attached. It wasn't like a normal Switch. Now, some people were saying it was just the company Googled switch and just pull that image, that render, and just reuse, repurpose the art or whatever. And then other people are saying that they weren't supposed to use that image yet for that product. So like there's two different things. There's no official word from the manufacturer of the appliance of the clear switch case, but you can Google that, and that's a very interesting thing as well. So I don't know, man. I think they'd be stupid not to revise the hardware as they go, because it's only going to get less, going to have less and less parity with the other systems. You're already getting Doom, Wolfenstein, and all that stuff on there and Witcher 3 that are making concessions, and those games are only going to get bigger. They're only going to get more expensive to make, and the PS5 and the Xbox, whatever the hell they're calling it, is going to be here sooner rather than later. And it's just going to happen, man.
Listen,
I'm quite looking forward to playing The Witcher in 360p.
All right, let's move along. This one's just, I thought was an interesting little tidbit. It's not necessarily news. It's just kind of like an interesting little story. But the newly revealed at E3, the Gods and Monsters, which it was Ubisoft, I believe. I just found this really fascinating that it's got, it's basically, it's inspired by Breath of the Wild, which is clear when you're looking at it, but it's got this Greek, I believe it was Greek, right? Was that?
Oh, Greek? It is Greek.
That's, yeah, Greek, sure. Mythology. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to fuck that up. But it focuses more heavily on fluid combat. Seems to be taking some cues from like a Monster Hunter or Dark Souls, which it just looks interesting. So and I hope that our listeners have seen it, because we didn't talk about it at our E3 wrap up show. But Gods and Monsters, if you haven't heard of it, Google it, take a look at that trailer, because it looks really, really interesting. And I love that Ubisoft continues to expand their IP library.
Appropriate my culture, Ubisoft.
Yeah,
that's right. First Odyssey, now this.
Windex is a secret weapon.
You know,
I really like that. Haven't they announced that Breath of the Wild, like the sequel to Breath of the Wild, is inspired by Red Dead Redemption, and now we have Gods and Monsters from the creators of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, who are inspired by Breath of the Wild. I want to know who's coming in and making like a really odd game inspired by Assassin's Creed Odyssey. That's interesting. It's like, oh, Yoshi's Woolly Adventure 3, which is inspired by Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I want to play that game. That sounds amazing.
That's the one.
You know, Steven, you missed a bigger news bit for Breath of the Wild this week.
All right.
That the sequel was essentially, it's cobbled together from a bunch of DLC ideas they had for Breath of the Wild.
That's a great fucking idea.
And it got way too big. Like, you know what? We should make a separate game for all this shit.
Nintendo gonna Nintendo. And now a bit of sad news to wrap up the Nintendo news report before we get into the hype zone, which is going to turn this whole mood upside down. But the Metroid Prime developer Andy O'Neill has passed away. He was age 47. He was at Blue Point Games, has revealed that its co-founder Andy O'Neill has passed away on June 10th at age 47. He is known for being the technical lead on Metroid Prime, Metroid Prime 2, and a principal engineer on Metroid Prime 3. So it does affect the Nintendo family, as it were. And I just thought we should, send our condolences and just say that it's always very sad when we lose industry people. And there was another death in
Guerrilla Games
lost their Patrick, lead producer
Munich, yes. 44 years old.
Absolutely horrendous.
What's in the water at these companies?
It's very sad. We don't know. I mean, obviously I'm not going to dig. We don't know what cause of death was. We don't know if it was an accident, if they were sick, if they, whatever, we don't know.
These are young guys though.
Yeah, our condolences. Life is short. Build the game you want, do it out of love, have fun. And don't take life too seriously. Just have,
tell you, man,
have
that
fun.
Crunch, Steven, that crunch. It's deadly. It's
that crunch time. And now it is time to get into the hype zone. And boy, I am ready for this hype zone. Have you ever heard of, Lee, I'm going to ask you a very simple question.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Fortnite?
Ooh, yeah, that's a bit like Minecraft, isn't it?
Right.
Exactly.
Fortnite. Have you ever heard of a game called PUBG?
Yeah, think so.
small game.
That's kind of like it's a small indie classic, isn't it?
Right. I play this other game. It's much less known. It's called Apex Legends. I play that one as well. These three games, what do they have in common?
You suck at them.
Besides
they're all
that.
Shitty games.
It's not that they're all battle royales. That's the obvious. Yeah. The real thing they have in common is that they're about to get trounced in the battle royale market. Andy, take us into the hype zone, my friend.
Guys, an unsung hero, a genius of video game fan projects, has done the unthinkable.
The impossible.
They have created a battle royale version of Super Mario Brothers that supports up to 99 players. That's right. It is Mario Bros. Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
And all it's 2D 8-bit beauty with 99 Marios walking around getting power-ups and stealing coins from their adversaries. It's nuts. And this is the be-all end-all of Battle Royale games.
This is going to change the game.
Yes. Now, there's a note here, because Nintendo's notorious for nuking any fan-created project, that in the game's loading screen, it actually tells Nintendo to please don't sue me. Please.
He's getting
that
sued.
That definitely works. That definitely works.
He is now bulletproof against all future litigation.
So that's not going to hold up in court. That's definitely not going to hold up in court.
No, that's a binding contract.
Binding.
If you tell someone not to sue them, they can't sue you.
Hang on, what'd you say, Lee?
That's how law works.
I said, have you seen it running yet? Because I can just imagine kind of 99, oh-hee, oh-hoo, all at the same time, just reverberating around this small world.
Oh, it's just those bleeps and bloops. It's just a... It's a whole bunch of that shit. We don't even get Charles. We don't get his. Wahoo, here we go,
guys. I'm actually playing it right now as we speak. The lobby is loaded with 75 players. Oh my god.
Oh, that's it.
Oh my god. The game starts in 10 seconds.
Oh, we're gonna hear this live.
Oh no!
Here comes the hype zone, ladies. We're gonna listen to you play. We're gonna listen to your commentary.
With my little keyboard. Oh my god! What the fuck? Literally 100 Marios dropped from the ceiling.
Which one are you?
Oh my lord! This is insanity.
Are they all the same color?
Yes, they are. Oh, I just got killed. Oh god! Someone threw a shell at me. Okay, game over. That's it.
What place did you get in?
20th.
Wow.
I did nothing.
Good job.
Luigi method.
Alright, it's time to get into the Retro Game Club. Whew. Speaking of Mario. Let's go into the Wayback Machine. Lee, you're on my team, buddy. We gotta get this thing, because I'm 2 points behind. Alright? And this is how this thing works. Andy is going to give us 10 clues, one by one. We get to try and we get 3 guesses total. To guess what the game is, we have to wait till a clue is read, and then we could guess, or we could ask for the next clue. If we get it in the points are more valuable the sooner you get it. So the first clue is worth 10 points, the second one was worth 9 points, and so on and so forth. If we would like to ask a yes or no question, we could do so, but we forfeit one of our guesses, and then we move on to the next clue. All right.
Okay,
so when we say retro, we are talking about a game that appeared on a Nintendo console from the GameCube prior. And next year, Andy, we're going to have to include the Wii in that.
Is that so?
I think so.
All right. It's overdue.
All right.
It's been 2 years in the podcast. Let's involve the Wii as now a retro console.
Right. All right.
All righty.
Our first clue.
Clue number one.
Get ready. It's going to be a stupid clue. Just get ready.
This side-scrolling brawler game was released in the early 1990s.
All right. Okay, so we're in Nintendo and or Super Nintendo or Game Boy. That's kind of where we're at right now.
1990s release, it's probably going to be a SNES game, although it could be a Game Boy game.
Right. Right. They did make games as late as 93 on the NES. Although, I don't think you're going to get, like, the staple, like, the brawler, you know? I don't think you're going to get that. So I think we're safe with SNES. Andy, let's get the next clue for 9 points.
Oh, yes, by all means. This game was initially released in arcades and then later made its way onto the Super Nintendo.
Okay. All right, we got a lot of options here. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Almost every Capcom brawler was an arcade game that moved on. I swear to God, if it's Knights of the Round Table, I'm just gonna punch him right in the mouth. I think I gave you that game before.
Is that a guess?
No.
No, it's been on the show before, so it can't be a repeat.
Okay. I forgot that we did that. Okay. Could be one of the Capcom brawlers. No.
I've got a game in mind that I think it is.
What are you thinking?
Oh my God!
You don't have to officially guess. You can bounce it off of me.
Okay, that's fine. I'm thinking it's potentially one of the Final Fight games, and I think because I feel like some of the other trivia is going to be you could only play as one player, and everyone hated it. And then there was a follow-up game where you could be the other character, but not two players at the same time, because that makes no sense. I'm going to Final Fight. It's the brawler. It's the pure brawler. That's right. What's making me think of Final Fight. But there are others. There are definitely others.
And even if it is Final Fight, which one could it possibly be? I mean, early 90s, I think all of them came out prior to, like, 95.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get another clue for 8 points.
Yep.
For some reason, this brawler was only single player.
Oh! Okay.
Okay, so now we're probably going to have to pick, like, is it going to be the first one? Because I think the second one was called, like, Final Fight Guy. But then there was Final Fight 3 as well.
I think there was Final Fight Guy and Final Fight 2.
Yes, that's it. Final Fight 2.
I think. But they're... all right, I want to ask a yes or no question.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Is this a Final Fight game?
It is not a Final Fight game.
Okay, next clue.
That. Moving on to the next clue.
It's wide open again.
Yeah, exactly. Next clue. Clue number, was this 4?
Yeah. 7 points.
So here's this giant enemy crab.
Giant enemy crabs.
I feel like, are you pointing at holes at all the reference points to Speed Brawl?
It's actually a reference to that really, really cringy E3 press conference from years back. It was... During Sony's press conference, they were showcasing some feudal Japan ninja game. Right. And they're saying how it was, like, very true to Japan culture and mythology. And it pulls from real-world Japan events. And his next line is no joke. So there's a giant enemy crab here.
As soon as you landed Japan on the plane as a tourist, they hand you a giant ceremonial crab. That's how it's done there.
So what brawler would have either a crab in it or have to do with Sony or like Japanese ninja stuff?
Well, it's like I'm trying to think now, kind of like, was there a SNES Battletoads game? A giant crab, and also the Turtles games. I can't remember if there was a giant crab in, like, Turtles in Time.
Well, all of those were two player.
They were two player.
It was Battletoads meets Double Dragon was a side-scrolling brawler, I believe, for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
that was a weird team up.
Yeah,
why is that a thing? That seems very unnatural.
Single player brawler with a crab. Oh.
Any ocean themed or beach themed brawlers?
The worst if this is a really obvious answer and I will just hate myself for the rest of the week. Yeah, I think we're going to need another clue.
All right. Next clue. Let's pull up my list here. The main character is a lot like Lee. He's not from Earth.
uh, Not a brawler. Not from... Any clues, Stephen?
I want to... Should we... Lee.
Yes.
What's that? What's that mean? I don't... Where's Lee from? Do you know? Does it striking your brain?
Lee, as in the name...
No, I was referring to your comment.
Oh, okay.
Show.
I thought that was a character
not
description.
From Earth. No, sorry. I'm talking about the game's main character.
Yeah, it was a callback.
Yes, it was a callback. Lee got it.
Got it. Okay.
I was like, I think that was a callback, Stephen.
Sorry. So this is gonna. We got ourselves an alien.
So it's an alien brawler, single player. There's a giant crab.
Possibly. We have no idea.
What was the name of that? Oh, no, I think that was a fighting game, wasn't it? Was it Vector? Oh, no, that's a Mega Drive. That's not a SNES game, is it, Vector Man?
Yeah.
And then there was that weird Clay Fighters game, but that's not a brawler. That's a fighting game.
Yeah, that's a fighting game, yeah.
Oh, that was a great game.
That was a fun game. I rented that game quite a bit.
The Claytalities in that game?
Yeah.
I think there was Santa Claus and Booger Man was on the N64 version of that game. next clue.
Yeah, give us the next clue. What are we up to?
Yeah.
All right. This is your sixth clue of the game.
Okay. Oof.
The main character
mm-hmm.
looks like Optimus Prime wearing a pair of boxing gloves. And he's also rocking a yellow ponytail.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
No, I feel like I totally know what this game is now, and I'm going to struggle for minutes to conjure it.
Oh, but who made this?
It's a weird mech fighting game and brawler, and I'm sure it's called. It was the 90s, so it's going to be really on the nose. It'd be like kind of like Robot Punch or Robo. He says having made a game called Speed Brawl, but it's definitely that kind of.
He's tying. I think he. Okay. He already roped you into this. He's chose a brawler because you made a brawler.
Yeah.
So let's think about speed. What's okay? Speed. Let's think about speed. Speed
it's
punch.
The, it's
speed
the,
punch.
I keep going to like I think of it in my head and I can pretty much picture it, but I'm going to like Megaton Punch, which is like an indie like brawler on Steam. And
what if he's misleading us on purpose and it's more of a game like Sonic?
You would never call Sonic a brawler, though, would you?
No.
That's an interesting like kind of fight to have over drinks, justifying that Sonic is a brawler. Ooh.
Well, I mean, I was just... I don't know. Next clue.
This is tougher. Yeah, next clue.
Oh, next clue. All right. Let's see what we got going on over here. This is a really interesting clue. Hold on one minute. Okay. The arcade version of this game was recalled because it caused injuries to its players.
Okay.
Right.
Ooh.
And also, just as an aside clue, a bonus clue for you guys, the arcade game and the SNES version were wildly different games.
Yes, this is the punch game.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
The punch game. You punch him in the face and his face goes like, and in the arcade there was like six panels and you have to punch it, and it was called like Super Punch Man or Super Mega Cryotic Punch or it was probably called 17 different things in 17 different countries. Oh, that's going to irritate
just for
me
the now. Record, just for the record, Steven.
Yeah, what?
Lee knows the game. He's describing it. He knows the game.
I'm trying. What was that?
Meteorite Punch or something like that? No, it's not. Oh, now my head's just wandered into Fist of the North Star and I'm kind of off in the clouds.
All right, so we have Punch. Let's go with Punch. All right, we got Punch.
Super Punch Man.
That's we got Super Punch Man. Okay, that's our base. That's where we're gonna start.
Yeah.
All right. What do we know about this episode? We know that you made a game that is a brawler, which is why he picked a brawler. How else can he tie it into your game? That's what we have to think about.
So the guy's an alien. That's the bit. It's like, I can't remember that.
I mean, he just said not of Earth, so he could be like a robot.
Or, well, it's the robot with the ponytail, isn't it? Like, that's the...
He could be like an android annoying. Or something.
He's
like,
most
whatever.
Definitely not a robot.
I can see... He has
robot-like qualities, but he's definitely human in nature and looking-wise.
With boxing gloves.
With boxing gloves and a sweet-ass ponytail. And a really tiny little cape.
I know it. It's so irritating. If I could beam you a picture of the game in my head,
I'm pretty sure you got it right.
Yeah, but the title.
I know you know it. That's what's killing me in my soul right now.
let's get another clue then. I could still take the lead. What are we up to? We're up to clue what? 7?
This is like, I think so.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. I could still take the lead here. It's 4 points. I could still do this.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Okay. The game opens with the scene of a lady on train tracks.
Okay. Train tracks. I fear I do not know this video game.
I feel bad for you guys because Lee definitely knows it.
I know it.
Like, I can see him thinking about it. His face is. You can see on his face.
Like, I'm seeing the colors. I can see that because in the arcade, when I first saw this in the arcade, I was like, oh my god, this game is amazing. You punch things in the face and you see the graphics splash.
Lee,
and it's like, oh.
Lee, what color was the main character? I'm wondering if you're thinking about of this game.
Oh, that would be hilarious if I've completely got the game wrong.
He's pink.
Oh, really?
No.
Maybe it's not. I'm being a douche.
Blue. I'm just guessing. All right, next clue. 3 points. Let's do it.
Next clue.
All right, let's see.
My last chance to take the lead.
Oh my god, let's see what we got going on over here. All right. The main character's name is also the title for the game, which would make a pretty shitty Mega Man boss. If you ask me.
So it's going to be something, something man. Because of Mega Man bosses.
Yes. Oh, what is it?
Super Punch Man still fits. Ooh, wait a minute. This is something he totally would do. Again, don't know if this is a video game. But he led off with Brawler. The only thing he hasn't given us a clue about is... speed.
Oh, is he trying to kind of like twist our brains?
Your game, Speed Brawl, has two influences.
Yes.
Streets of Rage, which we covered in these clues, and Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm going with Sonic is the word we're missing.
Oh, is it Sonic Punch Man? Is that how it... No. No, you've just invented a new game there.
What do I know?
Sonic Punch Man, that's fantastic.
Use a guess. I'll let you decide.
Are you guys going with Sonic Punch Man? Is that what's happening right now?
You say it because... And you know what? Fuck it, I'll own it. Is it Sonic Punch Man? I'm owning it. Owning this one.
It is definitely not Sonic Punch Man. Oh. A game which should be... Double Sign Studios, or games rather, next project. So Lee, get on it.
Sonic Punch Man, that's like that's whoever the visual effects artist is that created the latest Sonic in the new movie. That's the Sonic Punch Man.
All right, next clue. We use the guess. This is the tie. Right.
This is the tie, and I feel really bad for you guys. So this is going to be like the gimme clue. All right? Okay. Your main foe is an evil clone of you named Dark Sonic Blastman.
Oh, it's Sonic Blastman. Of course it's Sonic. But you were right. You were so right when you were like, pick Sonic, pick Sonic.
Oh, my God. Is that a game? I still don't know if that's a game.
Sonic Blastman is a game. And in the arcades, it was like a huge like machine, and
these little punch paddles.
Punch it and you punch it in the face. And obviously, like as like an 11-year-old playing that game, I couldn't play it, but I could play the SNES version.
Is that all right? Is it Sonic? Would you say Blast?
Sonic Blastman.
Sonic Blastman. Oh my God! I can't believe that's a game.
I think someone actually broke their wrist playing it, and it was recalled.
They had to pay $50,000 in damages.
Please.
So here's where it gets a little heartbreaking. The game is actually called Sonic Blastman. It's his last name. As per the literature I'm seeing.
Can you imagine when he was at school? It's kind of like Smith, Thomas,
Mr. Blastman. Blastman!
Wow, Sonic Blastman. I can't believe that was I knew it had to be Sonic because he gave the brawler thing early. I don't know where the crab came from. I have no idea what that means.
You put a giant crab
in there. There's a giant crab in there. Yeah.
Well, that took me down a path I didn't want to go down. All right, Sonic Blastman.
Because the last but one level is an enormous asteroid, and I always remember kind of like, so it was so cool. I know.
Oh,
and it has that whole. Doesn't it have like? Isn't there a level in it as well? And it's kind of like that that scene in The Untouchables where the pram is rolling down the stairs,
the
and
second
you actually
level
have to push
is a carriage in the freeway.
Ah, I knew it.
There's a truck about to collide with it.
I knew it as well. That's so irritating.
Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast is part of the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Horse, a PlayStation podcast, and Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast, and an added podcast, PG Spoilers Podcast, which is now a weekly show. So go and support Proven Gamer by going to provengamer.com and checking out those podcasts as well. You can follow our show on social media. We are at NDS Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/NDS Podcast. Lee, where could people find you on social media and the Speed Brawl on social media?
If you search for Speed Brawl, we'll pop up anywhere. We're at Speed Brawl. We are also at DBL Stallion. That is our company Twitter account. And I am London Film Geek. And you can find me as London Film Geek pretty much everywhere as well.
You could also check out our fun streams that we do 3 nights a week, including our giveaway stream on Friday or Saturday, depending on our schedule that weekend, at twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. That's twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. Special thanks to our contributors, Zazu Pitts of the Sour Note Productions, Matt Murray, formerly of Game Stuff Podcast. He hasn't been on it in quite a while, but he does help us out with a lot of our templates and stuff like that. Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines Podcast and Hit Buttons Gaming for our Nintendo Dual Screens logo. And Andrew Douglas, who does all of our podcast art and fun drawings and stuff like that. And you could follow him at Angimoto, AngiMoto. Thank you so much, Lee, for joining us. You were an absolute blast to hang out with. We love Speed Brawl. We're very excited to see what you got going on in the future. And now you got me wanting to play Speed Brawl again. So thank you so much for joining us this week.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Andy.
Yes.
Is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Oh, yeah. Lee, what are your thoughts on Brexit?
Is this for the second hour of the podcast now?
No, don't. Don't humor him.
We should announce next week's guest on the show, but I think I'll let Steven take the reins because he locked in this guest.
I did. It was all me.
This is all you, buddy.
To celebrate the independence of the United States of America, when we kicked the ever-loving shit out of Great Britain, and we're
talking
like
about Brexit.
No, no, we don't listen to you no more. We are going to have Freedom Finger, Jim Dershberger. I believe that was his name.
That's a great name. It is his name.
I hope I'm getting that right. It's been a while since I spoke to him. Of Wide Right Games, I believe is the company. I don't have any of this in front of me. I was not prepared to make this announcement. I thought Andy usually does it, so I do apologize. But he's going to come on to celebrate the freedom of this great nation we live in to talk about Freedom Finger, which is a side-scrolling shoot 'em up. Which you play as a middle finger, and it's absolutely fantastic. Played it at PAX East. So please be excited for Freedom Week next week, where we talk about Freedom Finger and the freedom of this great nation, where we kick the shit out of Great Britain.
Steven, you got the name right, you got the developer right.
I'm fucking like, good, bro. I'm good.
So you're firing all cylinders.
I am. All of the cylinders. That's all it, folks. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 104 for the week of June 24th. Remember, if you want to listen to this episode's pre- and post-show shenanigans, then you head over to patreon.com/NDSpodcast and you support us at the appropriate tier, and you get that super sexy audio where we talk about nonsense and all that fun stuff. Anyway, that's it. Thank you. Until next time, take care. And as always, thank you, Andy. Thank you, Lee. Please be excellent to each other.